If your competitors don't think that you are a noisy neighbor, you need to be louder. You must be bold and fearless with your ideas. There is a space for you as an expert in your industry. You just have to be brave. That's what we're covering in this episode with my guest, Stacey Calder.
You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello, hello, welcome back. Welcome once again to another fantastic episode. So glad to have you here. I have got... Now, this lady, we've been trying to get her on the show for a little while now. Her schedule is rather busy. I'm very, very privileged to say I've been a guest on her show in the past, and we've known each other for a fair while now. Just to let you know who this person is. As an award-winning marketer, business magazine owner, and a community builder, Stacey has the mission of helping business owners succeed without the need for huge budgets. As Stacey sees it, wherever you are in the world, your business needs to dazzle and sparkle in the spotlight. And who doesn't want a bit of dazzle and sparkle, right? Stacey will help you with both your marketing and with your mindset. That's why we get on so well. Both of these are critical to your business and to your success. Now, your definition of success is unique to you. And it could be something as simple as taking a holiday with your family or just having a Tuesday afternoon to yourself. The secret is, well, according to Stacey, the secret is there are no rules. Life is just like a film. You should be the only one directing, and you deserve to be the lead. That's my guest today, Stacey Calder. Hey, Stacey, how are you doing?
Well, hi, Keith. That was such a brilliant intro. I loved listening to that. I was thinking, who is this woman?
Yeah, I can't wait to hear her.
And it's me.
It is you, and it sums you up really well. It really does sum you up really well. Well, thank you for taking the time out. As I mentioned, we've been spending a little while trying to get this scheduled and get our schedules to match. So I appreciate you taking the time out. I know you're a very busy woman with all your.
Well, it's
stuff.
Normally me chasing you, Keith, to be a person on my podcast. So it's really lovely to be able to come on to yours.
Oh, thank you. Well, we've heard your bio, and a lovely bio it is too. But who is Stacey? Who is the lady behind the bio?
Oh, do you know, when people ask me that, I do. I've been self-employed for about 12 years now, and I'm a mum, and I am, a wife to a hungry husband, and all those. There's lots of different phrases that we use to describe me, but I could often be caught out hearing myself say, well, I'm just a mum. Just a mum, who's Stacey Calder? I'm just a mum. And every now and again, it slips back in. But actually, there's a lot of lessons that you can learn from being a mum. So I'm not just a mum anymore. I am all of the things that you said. And with a lot of lessons thrown in, because sometimes juggling business and juggling family, well, it's all just one big juggle, isn't it? So, you spoke about mindset and all that stuff in my bio, and that has stemmed from, who I am and that journey that I've been on, because 12 years in business is a long time, and you juggle all sorts of things in that time. So that's me, really, just a mum, that runs a business and that helps others do the same.
Yeah, and it's quite a journey. We're going to explore a little bit of that journey in a moment. Before we do, I'm so glad that you picked up on that whole just a mum thing. I know so many of us, when we're asked, what do we do? Oh, I'm just a dot, 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 which kind of is doing down what we do.
And you hear people say, oh, I've got a little business as well. So my favourite phrase back is, do you want it to be a little business?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I want world domination. I want this huge business. Right. So why are you telling the universe you've got a little business then? Yeah. You get it more than most people, Keith. You are, a mindset master. Mm-hmm. So I've learned from people like you that actually, it's just those little tiny things that you can say to yourself that make all the difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I guess it's one thing if Richard Branson says, "Oh, I've got a little business," because then it becomes a ironic, amusing thing. But when we tell ourselves, "Oh, I've got a little business," really, is that all it is? It's a little business. Oh, I'm just a mum. And let's face it, being a mum is, I think we could probably agree that being a mum is about the most important job on the planet. Without mums,
it's a pretty tough one, I have to say. And dads as well, you know, take my out to parents.
Exactly, yeah.
And people that juggle, you know, or they just, life is one big juggle sometimes. And so to run a business and to have that structure whilst juggling the needs of a family, you know, you always, in fact, only this weekend I was at a conference talking about mum guilt and that feeling of when you're working on your business, you feel guilty that you should be at home, you know, running the family. And when you're running the family, you feel guilty that you're not running your business. So, and I don't think that ever leaves, you know, 12 years on, you learn to manage it, you learn to accommodate it, but I don't think it ever fully goes. Apart from the fact my kids are older now, so rather than me wanting to work from home with them, they're kicking me out the door, begging me to leave, kind of thing. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
Yeah.
And all that.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's go back to the beginning. Well, maybe not the very beginning, but go back to early. I mean, you weren't always a mum. You weren't always a business owner. Which one happened first?
No. So I left school, I went to college, I loved working my way, I loved working. So whilst education was great, I really wanted to get my teeth into working. So I was kind of climbing the ladder of hospitality and retail, actually. I did a stint in both. Two, as you know, Keith, very interesting industries that are actually really hard work and nobody realises. So I was kind of working as a hospitality manager and then a retail manager. And then I had my first child. And I really stupidly, being with my career head on, went back to work when she was 10 weeks old. Ooh. So, you know, I was the breadwinner. I was the person at home that wanted the career. And when my boss rang me and said, "Oh, we've got a promotion for you, but you need to be back in work for January," I went for it. And actually what I realized was that I missed a lot. You know, she was just 10 weeks old. And so I missed all those early kind of, you know, I'd ring home and my mum was saying, "Oh, she's learned to blow a raspberry today and she's done all this." And I'm thinking, I've missed that. Yeah. So actually when I had my second child, I went the complete opposite and said, "Right, I'm going to have all the maternity leave off I can possibly have." And realised I make a really rubbish housewife. So I needed something that would be in the middle. I needed something that was going to keep my brain going, that, you know, that gave me the, it fulfilled my ambitions that I wanted with a career, but also allowed me to be the mum that I wanted to be. And so my friend at the time went, "Just quit and start a business." And I was like, "I've never run a business before. What am I going to do?" And so I did. I just decided I wasn't going to go back after maternity leave and I was going to start a business, which I went into. I went into the sort of health and wellness area. Mm-hmm. And after 2 weeks, my friend said to me, "Well, I run this networking company for mums in business. Do you want to buy a franchise?" And I thought, "Not really, no." I'm 2 weeks in. I've got a new business as it is. But she was quite persuasive. And actually what happened was I didn't buy the franchise. I bought half the company because her business partner wanted out. So it was it just fell into place. And so within 2 weeks of me starting my own business, I'd also bought a 50% share in a networking company. And the rest is history, you know, because I was a youngish mum with two children. And suddenly I had a way of promoting a business whilst helping other mums do the same. And that really has been an ethos of mine throughout my journey, really. So that was about 12 years ago, as I say. We very quickly grew that network. We realised that there was a lot of parents out there that wanted to run businesses. If you're anything like me, the careers advice at school was not go out and get a business. It was far from it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was lots of these mums around the kitchen table wanting to do things, and probably not getting the recognition or the training that they deserved. And so we stepped in we grew that business from a couple of franchises to around 34 franchises across the UK and 26,000 members. So it was a big, you know, it was a big network. It was fantastic. Yeah. And for one reason or another, I sold that in 2017 and started what kind of, well, I'd always done the training and the mentoring part of that business, the networking, and that's what I loved. It was about building those communities. You know, you don't have 34 franchises without building 34 communities. And that's where it kind of really, I started to really, actually, this is what's important. These are the trainings that they need. It's not necessarily about, you know, the education that people have had, or it's about what they can access now. It's about the availability of it. It's about helping them to get those community of cheerleaders. So that's what I did. I started to kind of take it away from that network and almost really build well, what is now the Business Success Network. So
yeah. Networking still a core part of
absolutely. It's, you know, people often shy away from networking and they think, I don't want to walk in a room full of strangers. And I get that. I certainly didn't. That first networking event I went to, I thought, and it was a mum's event as well. So I was thinking, people are going to be, you know, looking at me, wondering how I'm dragging my children up, raising them, whatever you want to call it. And actually, it wasn't. It was really supportive. And you've just got to find one that works for you, whether it's a membership group or whether it's a, you know, coffee morning, whatever it is, but just go out and have a try, because networking, once you find that core group, I mean, I've got lifelong friends that have come from networking, Keith. We would never have met if it wasn't for networking.
Exactly. So that's how we found each other. Yeah.
Absolutely. It was that thing of you being right up there somewhere in the Highlands, you know, and me being quite middle of the UK. And, you know, we were chatting online for a long time networking. So, you know, of all the things to come out of COVID, actually, the online networking space was a bonus.
Certainly was. And I think you touched on something really important there for people to realize with networking, is there are so many different types of networking out there. So if you do go along to a networking group and it does turn out to be your idea of pure hell, don't let it put you off. It just means that group, that network, that style wasn't for you.
There are plenty
of others to explore.
I've done a couple of breakfast networkings in my time, and I have to say, I'll be honest, I did not go self-employed to get up at 5 a.m. in a dark car park for no amount of, you know, sausage, bacon and eggs. It's just not my thing. But I know people that have got thousands of pounds worth of business from breakfast networking. So I prefer the evening ones where you get a glass of gin, I have to say.
Yeah. I think I'm with you on that. So you basically quit your job, started up your own business, very quickly bought half of another business, and then you grew that one up to phenomenally successful with it. Was it 34, did you say, franchises?
34 franchises, yeah. 26,000 members, I think, at the last.
That's impressive.
So a lot of people, but it just shows the need, and it shows that there are a lot of parents out there that were juggling a business and a family and couldn't necessarily access networking or trainings or that kind of thing. So I think we just managed to kind of piece it all together, and we learned from our members, really. They told us what we wanted, so we just got on with it. And that's always been my ethos now. Even, I mean, you'll know, you're part of my group's things, that I say to them all the time, what do you want this month? You know, what is it? What can I do? What do you want me for? Because, we've all got to move with the times and everything's new. And I think COVID definitely made me reevaluate what I was doing and how I was spending my time. And it was very easy to go networking 5, 6, 7 hours a week. And now I'm thinking, where did I have the time?
Yeah.
So, you know, everything's so online now, you know, we're on Zoom and it's just everything's so quick and easy, but actually you've still got to know what your customers want. And so, yeah, I ask them, because those communities are the ones that keep us all going.
Yeah. I mean, that pretty much answers the question I was going to ask you. Was there anything in particular? No, it's cool. Was there anything in particular that you put the success down to? I mean, starting off with owning half of a business and then building up to that massive thing. What would you say was the biggest key to making all that happen? And it sounds as though you've answered that with basically listen to your clients, listen to your customers, ask them what they want.
Absolutely, listening to them and not being scared to take a chance. You know, social media is a big thing with me, and I, you know, looking back to those early days, it was all about Twitter. After once Facebook had kind of took the world by storm, the next biggest thing was Twitter. And you know, I was on there constantly, making sure that every client I had and that I was running accounts for, and that we, and certainly our own accounts, you know, we were tweeting every hour on the hour. And I'm thinking now, you just don't, most businesses don't do that anymore with Twitter, because we've moved on to Instagram or TikTok, or, you know, it's constantly changing. I'll hold my hands up. TikTok for me, I was a bit like, you, nobody wants to see this 40-year-old mom dancing around on TikTok. But actually, as you learn it and you think, right, well, what's in it for my network? How can I help them? You do start to think, oh, okay, there is a reason behind this. We can use it. So don't be scared of change, I think, is one of the biggest things for me. And it is scary to change. Like I said, I sold that business, and it made me really sad for a while. And I'd say I lost my way in terms of, I didn't want to be recognized. I think I hid a lot behind the logo in that business. And this is what I talk to my clients about now, you know. Yeah. They are their biggest marketing asset. You need to have your branding, your personal brand. I talk a lot about all those kinds of things. But that's because I learned from, actually, it's great to have a giant network, but if people only see your logo and not your face, you know, those assets aren't there all that much. So, yeah, lots of lessons along the way.
Yeah, which I guess ties in neatly with the gentleman that we mentioned earlier, Richard Branson. He's the face of all of his businesses, isn't he?
Absolutely, you know, and his face is absolutely recognisable. Yeah. You say to Richard Branson, and you think personal, obviously you think Virgin, and you've got the red, you know, you look at Virgin Airlines, you've got the red uniforms, everything is that red Virgin logo. Yeah. You think of Richard Branson, and I don't know about you, but I think white shirts, you know, stonewashed kind of jeans, long floppy, blondy white hair, charismatic smile. He just looks like, well, it's just Richard Branson, isn't it?
Exactly.
That's him, and you know, barefooted on his island kind of thing.
No, lovely. Yeah. So I know one of the things you say for businesses is that I think the way you put it is, if your competitors don't think you're a noisy neighbor, you need to be louder. And it sounds as though that's something which formed part of your approach. I mean, you were saying that in the earlier days of Twitter, you were basically posting every hour you were tweeting on there. And that's moved on, because obviously Twitter has moved on and all the new networks and so on. For a lot of people, they'll be saying, "Yeah, but I don't want to post too much. I don't want to annoy people. I don't want to." How can we, A, do we annoy people if we post a lot? And B, how can we get over that?
Well, do you know what? I was just sitting here thinking I could be really harsh and say, just get over it. But that's not the answer people want to hear. But going back to Twitter, you know, people would say to me, it's even with TikTok now, don't want to post all the time, or Instagram, or how often is too much? You know, Twitter was very, very fast, and the more people that followed that timeline, you just see it was rapid. And so, you know, you'd send a tweet out, and to be honest, the shelf life was about 30 seconds. So it was gone. You're never going to annoy people unless they're following just you, in which case I'd be slightly worried. But it is that thing of, you know, your marketing is what's going to get you your sales are what's paying your bills. It can be really easy to think you're annoying people, but they're following you for a reason. And the internet is a very big place. Even in your own groups, we hear constantly about algorithms and things like this. Even when we're networking, you can't just go to one networking event and expect a sale. You've got to keep showing up. And it is, it's the same online. Got to keep showing up. And do you know what? If someone's really that offended by you posting three times a day, they're going to unfollow you, and that's okay.
They were probably
you know, you're
really
not going to be for
anyway.
Everyone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I probably am that annoying, noisy neighbour, as you quoted there, because, you know, Danny Wallace, a good friend of mine, one of her sayings is, closed mouths don't get fed. And actually, that's a brilliant quote for her, because, you know, it speaks volumes. You've got to get your message out there. And people don't hear it first time.
No, it's a very good point.
Or second or third.
Yeah. And I know years and years ago, they said with advertising, you had to see an advert. Was it you had to see an advert 2.2 times before you would buy? And that was like in the days of, you remember Exchange and Mart? Does that still going? Yeah. They used to quote that in there so that they would try and sell you three adverts over 3 weeks. But it was on that whole, you got to see something two and a half times before it, you kind of commit. But these days, what is it they say? 10, 20, 30 times, something like that. You got to hear the same message before.
Absolutely. I mean, you see it all the time. You'll see it with sponsored ads on Facebook, on Instagram. Mm. And some of them, some of them you'll be thinking, why is this popping up? I don't need this. And eventually you get curious, don't you? Okay, this is about the 10th time I've seen this now. I'm just going to have a look at what it is. Flip that, though. You also, and I don't know whether it's just me, there have been times where something has popped up on my phone as you're scrolling, you see it and you go, I'm having that. And it's, you know, it's small value. It suckers you in. You probably don't even really need it, but it's there. It's affordable. It's that hook, isn't it? And they've got you. Mm. So, yes, you do probably have to be seen 10 times. And I would take that as, you know, as a good way to be. Make sure you're posting it. Look, I'm currently running I'm promoting a day with me in Leamington, and that has gone out for the last 3 months, and there are still people, and I'm posting it everywhere, and there are still people saying, didn't know you were running it. So you're never ever going to get in front of everybody. Absolutely. You just have to do your best. But if the content's good and the graphics are good and it stops you scrolling, there will be times where people see it once and go, I'm in. And that's how you know you've got the right audience there.
Oh, you're so true what you say there. I've number of times I've heard people have said the same thing. They've run an event and then which they've advertised and marketed, and they feel they've talked about nothing other than that for 24/7 for the past month. You can guarantee the day after it, one of their friends goes, well, I didn't know you were running an event. You should have said.
So, they'll see the after pictures. Absolutely.
You're right. As we're scrolling through, we'll see something. And thinking about it, the number of times I've seen something as I'm scrolling through, I thought, oh, I'd love to do that, but I'm out and about or whatever.
Yeah.
So you want to be able to see it again next when you're sat at home. And, oh, yeah, there was that thing I was going to do. Right. I can do it now.
But and there's nothing worse, is there? There's nothing worse than going, okay, it was a sponsored post. What was it? Where was it?
Yeah.
Is it going to come? And you have to kind of, you're scrolling trying to find
just
it again.
Hoping it'll,
just pop up again.
Yeah. Oh. Actually, I find sometimes when I do that, if there's, I see a sponsored post, oh, well, that's something I'll be interested in. I can't do anything about it now. I will actually deliberately click on it because that often sends a signal to the thing that posts the adverts. Oh, they clicked on that. They might be interested. So I must have
or screenshot it, anything like that.
So you sold your very successful business, and you started helping people with their businesses and so on. So what is it that you do nowadays?
So I am, it's all about marketing assets for me. And I think I'm the one that bats around that term. You don't tend to hear it too much, but I'd done a lot of personal development, and I was on a speaker course one day, actually, with a guy we both know pretty well, Brad Burton. And he was talking about being paid as a speaker. And I'd worked with Brad for quite a while, and he knows this story, so I'm okay to share it. I did actually tell him to this. And we were sat at this training, and at the end of it, he said, there's three or four of you in the room that, you know, you'd probably get paid to speak now. You, and you. And I wasn't one of them. Mm-hmm. And of course, I took high offence to that. I was thinking, well, I've been in business probably at the time about 8 years. And so when we got up to do our final thing, I said, you've really me off. And he was like, oh, why? What have I done? And I said, well, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've run some business awards, I've run, you know, franchise leader, blah, blah, blah. And he went, Stacey, I know none of that. And I've been working with you for probably 18 months. So I'm guessing your audience don't know that either. Mm. And that, I swear to God, changed the way I did business. I was already, yeah. I'd got clients, I was already running a UK-wide business magazine, I'd got my communities, I was still doing training and things, but that's when I thought, marketing assets. The reason he's saying that is because I haven't been showing off the photos, the graphics, the awards. You know, we talk about awards and what they can do for you. I talk about that quite a lot. Having award-winning business owner has, you know, have being able to say that does offer, you know, you stand out from the crowd than a business owner. And so that really, just that one throwaway phrase that he did, you know, I wouldn't pay you to be a speaker, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And me having that conversation with him and telling him how much it annoyed me. it did change my business because I started to look at it all. I did a list of all the different marketing assets I had and that I should have and that I needed to get. And then I put this list together and that's what I started to coach people. And I went through this list with them. I started to do speaker trainings on it. And lo and behold, within 6 months, the same guy that told me I wouldn't be on stage as a speaker booked me to be on his stage as a speaker. There is a happy story to it. It was worth telling him he'd annoyed me. We're still very good friends and he's still a great mentor as well. So we live to tell the tale, but it is around, everything I do now is around marketing assets. Mm. So it's about helping people share their story, but show how they do that. So, you know, Keith, this podcast, I know you, you're really good at branding. You're really good at marketing assets. You've always got your dicky bow on. You're always on brand, but I know you'll promote this. You'll have a graphic for it. There'll be social media posts. You've got a lot of marketing assets. And so that's what I help people with predominantly now, whether it's getting them into a magazine, because let's face it, social media has been around a while now. So people might say to me, don't need any help with that. I am tip top on social media, in which case I'll throw a spanner in the works and say, brilliant. How's your print media?
Yep.
And then they go, oh, so it's just having, you know, they might be a speaker but not have a show reel, things like that. So that's what I do, is I just encourage them to showcase themselves in the best way possible.
It's so important. I mean, I know so many of, and I'm speaking from personal experience as well, I fell into that trap myself. I know we just, oh yeah, I must get photos of me on stage, oh I've got the awards, I've got this and that, and then they sit on your hard drive or sit on the shelf and never get used. Having the assets is good, but as you found out when Brad pointed out that, well, I didn't know any of that about you, we have to use the assets. It's no good having them without using them, and that's where you come in.
Goes back to that thing of being the noisy neighbor, you know, like you just said, if they're sat on a laptop in a folder named assets, brilliant. they're close to hand, you need them, but actually you've got to use them. You know, as a magazine editor, I can't tell you how many times I've asked people for a headshot, business people.
Yeah.
And I've had some strange headshots back. One guy sent me a picture of him and a giraffe. He was not a zookeeper, so I don't know why there was a giraffe in the photo. Some people send us wedding pictures and they've cut the, you know, the bride off, and it's nice. There's all sorts. You know, you've only got to scroll through LinkedIn and you see some absolute howlers, to be honest.
You do indeed.
But it is, it's looking at those things, you know, having a professional headshot. Do you need a video? Are you an award winner? Well, when was the last time you said it or showcased it? And really being that noisy neighbour with your assets.
Yeah. And that really does make a huge difference. And you are living proof of that, because that's what really turned things around for you. You said you went from, you wouldn't get paid to be on a stage to come and speak on my stage. Been six
absolutely.
Months.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was down to, and I was thinking, I've got all the assets. Why am I not using them?
Yeah.
And I'll throw you in a top tip here. Facebook Memories is brilliant for this. If you're sat there thinking, oh my God, I've done so much in the past and I haven't collected them, go through your Facebook Memories every day because they'll pop up and you can get them back.
Beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
Certainly as a top tip there. We could talk about this for a long time, Stacey. Time, unfortunately, is against us as always. For those who want to find out a bit more, find a bit more about what you do, a bit more about how they can use their assets, or maybe even get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
My website, Keith, is www.businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk.
Brilliant.
Easiest way to get hold of me.
Yeah, businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. You're also, as one might expect, Stacey's also on the socials. And we'll pop her links in the show notes for this episode, which you can find in the usual place, keithblakemorenoble.com/show. Look for the one with Stacey Calder, or just go directly to businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. You can find out a lot more about Stacey, what she does, how she can help. You can connect with and get in touch. Stacey, thank you so much for taking some time out today to share with us an insight into your story, your journey, and exactly the sorts of things that we need to be doing so that we can make sure we get seen and heard by the people who need to see and hear us. Thank you so much, Stacey.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's been absolutely lovely to be on your show and to talk about this. Rather than, like I said, honestly, normally I'm talking to you about mindset and I could sit and listen to you all day, Keith. So,
thank you. No, it's been great to have you on, Stacey. And everyone who's listening to this, do check out Stacey, businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. Check her out, get in touch. There's a lot of useful tips and so on at that site, or check her out across the socials. Hopefully you've enjoyed this episode. Do remember, give us a like, give us a subscribe, share, comment, reviews. They always help, always greatly appreciated. We'll catch you next week. And just before we leave, I'd like to leave you with Stacey's favorite quote. I'm going to give you an abridged version. It's a quote from Theodore Roosevelt. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena. And there's more. If you're one of my Patreons, head over to Patreon, where Stacey shares some networking tips and networking experience, including the tale of the 800 jars of aloe vera.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.